Well, I do sense experience, professionalism, some passion and compulsion in that, so thank you very much indeed, Greg. The podium is yours, Mayor, and you're already there.
Thank you very much, Phil. Maha Krishna Pillai, that's how you pronounce it, Phil.
Sorry?
Maha Krishna Pillai.
Yes, that's what I would have said.
Thank you very much. Look, I've got a couple of notes that I'll go through in terms of a PowerPoint, but frankly, after all the discussion today, I might actually just address, I guess, a few of the questions and concerns and might put some facts on the table in response to some of the issues. First issue I guess I'd say is, look, I have enormous respect for Greg. I think Greg is a very genuine, extremely capable, very professional person who, frankly, I'd love to negotiate with if he was actually running the business at Telstra. The reality is we have to negotiate with the lawyers, and others around Telstra who, frankly, are not reasonable negotiators. And I think that's one of the fundamentals that I want to cover off today. This is not about the technical elements. It's not even about the financing, which I'll cover in a moment, Greg. It is, in fact, about market power and how market power gets abused. And addressing the issue in terms of market power is addressing market structure, because that's the fundamental flaw and failure we've had in a decade of telecommunications in Australia, the gross abuse of market power by Telstra across the sector at the expense of the industry and at the expense of, frankly, every consumer in Australia. A couple of observations. I have to say this, I'm sorry to the consultants who've done some of these reports. I have to point out that quite a few of those consultants are clearly Telstra-paid consultants. Henry, for example, has been a Telstra consultant for over a decade. So I suspect the perspective, just to be reasonable here, is very much driven by the paid consulting work over the last decade for many of those consultants. And it's not meant to be a go, I just want to put something on the record there. Secondly, I think an observation to something that Greg mentioned, and in fact Jeff mentioned as well. One of the things I think we forget about Australia when we compare ourselves to the rest of the world is an observation that Sol made when he first came across to Australia. Telstra is unique in the world. The ability for Telstra to dominate across vast stretches of the economy is unparalleled in the world. Let me take a step backwards from Jeff's comments earlier about the 1999 changes. Let's go back a little bit further. In 1984, Bell, because it was such a dominant player in the telco sector, was split between local and long distance. Of course they weren't allowed to own cable TV. Of course they didn't have mobile at that stage. Of course they didn't actually dominate internet provision. Of course they didn't actually own all the content on pay TV as well. What do we do in Australia? We allowed Telstra to dominate our entire communications market. That's a reality. That is not the case in the US. So the observations around what happened in the US must be seen in the context of a split between local and long distance, for God's sake, not just between telephony and cable, and the evolution of that market structure in the US. It is a different market structure. So the reality is in the US, the evolution has been built about because they broke up an AT&T, they had a dominant cable player in competition to telco, they therefore had content suppliers able to offer those services. What did we have in Australia? Let's go again, look at history a little bit. What happened in 1994? Optus decided to roll out pay TV networks in competition to Telstra. We actually went down an aerial route, just by the way, to remind people of the, I think, challenges that we would face these days, because we certainly wouldn't get away with that again. We'd have to go through a far more expensive process of doing it underground, and I'll come back to that in a moment. So what actually happened? Telstra followed Optus down every main street that Optus put a cable TV service down. It went into absolute marketing carpet bombing mode and basically decimated the Optus business. End result, and I'll quote Frank Blunt, probably won't quote him exactly because it was quite a rude quote, but he frankly said, I will flush away $1 billion of Telstra funds in order to, he actually said piss, to flush away the Optus business. Very effective strategy. And you can do that if you've got a multi-billion dollar business. So they basically wrote off $1 billion. Optus wrote off $1.4 billion. By 2002, Optus is losing $700 million a year. This is the economic model a lot of the people in this room seem to think we should pursue again in 2008. So we actually have a model that shows you have a second player entering a market, losing so much money, a case of economic vandalism in my view, that you might actually get a reality of actually kneecapping Optus once again. Let me turn to the Optus HFC network today. Optus does have a very effective 25% coverage rate of pay TV. Good business. Wherever we can, we sell products on that network. Quite profitable, offers a lot of services. Why is it profitable? We have an exclusive deal in terms of Foxtel content, so all content is controlled by Telstra indirectly. In terms of the business itself expanding past 25%, we clearly have a nice little business, but there is absolutely no, and be very clear about this, absolutely no rate of return incentive for us to go past 25%. Not exactly sure how Telstra's divestiture of Foxtel, much as I might like to see it on some levels, would actually change that dynamic. We have a business that's profitable in 25%. It's one of the key issues that the government tried to address with its 98% target, is that we have a choice here. We can have duplicate networks in 25 to 30% of the population. We are not going to have it much further than that. If that's our choice, that's fine. In terms of another observation that I think Greg made, one of the things overhanging, I guess, the sector in terms of market dominance is very much that Telstra owns, has access to 100% of the customer base. Telstra, in terms of, again, reality, and this is something Sol and others are very keen to point out when they do their in international roadshows, controls 90% of the profit pool in the fixed Australian market. 90% of the profit pool in the fixed Australian market. They also get 60% rates of return, 60% margins on that profit pool. I don't know how many of you guys run businesses, but that is a superb profit-making machine. The vast bulk of this industry's profits are retained by Telstra. 3/4 of the overall profits in this sector are retained by Telstra. 20% odd is retained by Optus, less than 5% by the entire rest of the sector. This is market failure, be very clear. This is about abuse of market power, and it is about market failure. In terms of, therefore, the implications of that, who exactly is going to invest in this third network? Who exactly is going to be putting their hand in their pocket to say, I'll risk my funds, rather than a theoretical sense, in a pure business sense, to actually invest in alternative networks, when you have a massively dominant Telstra with massive profit margins able to repeat the lessons of 1994 at its whim? You know, I don't know how many people have talked to financiers lately, but there's not many financiers who would take that risk. There's certainly not that many businesses that would take that risk. I might quickly turn, just in the interest of time, to a couple of quick slides, because I think it's important to put on record a couple of quick things. The policy in the NBN, in our view, it is very simple. There's a recognition that we need a new regulatory paradigm. We have had market failure and, I think, failure of regulatory in the last 10 years. Let's learn the lessons of that history of the last decade or so. As I said to quite a few people over the last few days, and I was saying to Josh just earlier, we were fairly optimistic in 1997 that regulatory rules could control a rampant monopolist. That has failed. We need a new regulatory paradigm to reflect the reality of today. It needs to be about strict controls for access and affordability. We believe operational and, in fact, structural separation should be mandatory. It's about putting Australians first. The Optus bid we put forward a few days ago, 1,500 pages worth, as distinct from the 13-page media release Telstra put forward, has clearly outlined, in our view, a very comprehensive plan for the build-out of an NBN. And I don't share Greg's view that only Telstra can do this. We will, in fact, be using a lot of the same suppliers. We will, in fact, be using a lot of the same vendors, not the ones you've exclusively signed up to, Greg, but a lot of the exclusive vendors who will be also doing this sort of work overseas. This is not rocket science, I'm sorry, Greg, in terms of the sort of process we're talking about. The actual fibre build is a fibre build. My fibre, frankly, will be just as dumb as Greg's. Okay, it's actually the applications and the integration of the access network, which I agree with you, Greg, is the complexity. The actual build-out of this network, we have vendors who can do it, we have experience to do it. Talking about the financial capability of this bid, I'm always intrigued that Telstra, David Quilty made the comment the other day, where's the money come from? Now, I don't know if anyone's noticed, but Singtel is the 11th largest telco in the world. Optus is an $8 billion revenue company. We are backing this bid very strongly. We've said quite clearly we will do whatever it takes to make this a reality. We'll have a number of partners. We've said it quite clearly. We want the industry. We're an embracing bid. We want the industry to be working with us, and other members of the industry, where they can afford to commit equity, will be part of that bid. We're also working in terms of funding. Much as I'd like to give you a lot more detail, I'm actually abiding by the gag order, which the government has imposed on us, in terms of what should and shouldn't be talked about publicly. So many companies are experienced network builders, Optus backed by Terrier, but we must get the right regulatory framework. What do we mean by genuine open access? The quick comment I'd make here is it's very easy to use in a 13-page media release the term open access, which has been bandied about quite regularly as some sort of revelation or on the road to Damascus by Telstra in the last few months. Open access is a meaningless term without any teeth behind it. You know, we've got open and free elections in Zimbabwe. I don't think we actually can really put any real meaning behind open access unless anyone is prepared to actually commit to some teeth behind what that means. And I don't see in the 13-page media release Telstra has put out anything other than a monitoring role for the ACCC. So we believe the NBN must operate as an independent network to get the right incentives back into this sector. Because it is about incentives. It is about making sure that Telstra is not able to control outcomes in our sector in the way they have controlled over the last decade. If you believe that Telstra will build this network and somehow behave in an altruistic fashion, then I've got some shares to sell you. Because clearly that is not going to happen. What we saw in the 2005 proposal from Telstra was a very clever strategy. But let's be clear what the strategy was. Broadband competition was emerging through the placement of DSL infrastructure by companies like Optus, Primus, ABT and a range of others. Competition was starting to bite. Telstra thought long and hard about how to get around that competition. Exchange-based equipment, links into customers through copper, bingo. Bypass the exchanges. Very simple. And that's what fibre to the node is. Eliminate the exchange-based competition. Be very clear about this. This is not an altruistic bid in 2005 in Telstra. It will kill off the entire existing broadband competition we have today. Oh, and by the way, they also want to include rollback of Part 11B and Part 11C of the TPA so that there won't be any regulation on existing broadband infrastructure. That's the commercial reality. It mightn't be the economic textbook reality. It mightn't actually be what we'd like to have happen. That's the commercial reality of abusive market power. 1 minute, Phil. Some examples, I guess, of the High Court challenges. One example I might highlight there. Telstra likes to play this sort of Damocles approach that there's this big threat of constitutional legal challenges hanging over the heads of everyone if they don't get their own way and they don't make the rules, which might add governments make rules, not Telstra. Thank God for Phil Burgess, because he actually raised a High Court challenge on these very issues last year. And the judges, 7-0, defeated it by saying this is an artifice and superficial argument, and they are subject to an access regime. They are going to be the rules around the ACCC setting pricing are legitimate. Thank you, Phil. So a lot of the constitutional challenge and legal issues, in fact, have been taken away. If I were Telstra, I'd have left it hanging there. It would have been a great idea to actually leave it hanging. We've actually had a lot of those issues resolved. OECD stats, I know there's issues with those, but let's face it, 28 out of 30 is not exactly where you want to be. In terms of cable versus wireless, I agree partially with some of Greg's comments, but my personal view, and I think the view of many engineers, is that in fact fibre to the node will be a significant speed advantage and reliability advantage, we believe, over wireless in the future for quite some time. I've outlined the 2005 proposal very quickly. Why don't we ask BT whether structural separation has been a success or not? Oh, sorry, that's the Chief Executive Officer. He actually says it has. President of BT in Asia-Pac. The Australian, the Optus sort of proposal. In just the interest of time, I won't go through that. Thought it would be better to answer some questions. So thank you very much for your time.